in on details. He looked up and shook his head.
Just a fortress at Kelia that has traditionally been Valahian. So she is not expanding. But why would she attack Bulgaria? It destabilizes the entire region.
Mara snapped a fan open and waved it in front of her face, even though the room was cool. She swept through and attacked all the Ottoman fortresses. Our forces there must be in utter chaos. I do not think the Bulgarians will use it as an opportunity to rise up against us. Serbians would not.
We would fight alongside you, but it will make everyone in the region bolder. Moldavia especially.
Does she have a relationship with King Stephen?
He is your cousin. Is he not?
Radu shook his head, feeling worthless.
I do not know. I have not been home.
He stopped on the word, wondering how it had slipped out in relation to Valahia.
I have not been there since I was a child. The relation is on my mother's side, and she left when we were very young. If Lada has contacted him, it is recent.
How did she even accomplish this much damage? Kumal asked.
It should not have been possible. You never really knew her. The impossible is where my sister excels, Radu said. That, and never backing down.
Mara was still toying with her fan, opening and closing it. What does she want?
Can we buy her? Mahmed laughed darkly. If being empress could not tempt Lada from Valahia, nothing can.
Radu inhaled sharply. Empress. When had Mahmed offered that? He had not mentioned having seen or communicated directly with Lada since she left. Mahmed always kept her secret, kept her in a portion of his heart Radu had no access to. Radu lowered his head. All their hours in here alone, all the confidence and closeness, all the work Radu had done for him while Lada was far away and actively working against Mahmed. And still, she held him. She always would. Kumal stood, walking to a map displayed on the wall.
If she gets Hungary, Moldavia and Transylvania on her side, they may be able to shift the whole region out of our control. We would lose the Danube as well. We can fight Valahia without any real loss, but I do not like spreading so thin between more regions.
Valahia is not well liked. It'll take her time to get traction within Europe.
You should attack her, Mara said.
Immediately. Radu opened his mouth to disagree, but then he paused. His own hesitation had cost so many lives in Constantinople, on both sides of the wall. He had not acted aggressively and was haunted by what might have been if he had. If he had assassinated Constantine when he had the chance, perhaps he could have saved tens of thousands. He had not because he cared about the emperor, and because he cared about Cyprian. He still did not know whether he had made the right decision. He suspected he had not. Could he stand idly by while more innocents died? It was not his fault this time, but, or was it? Lada had asked him to join her. Without him by her side, there was no one to temper her, no one to guide her from her first impulses. Without Radu to gently push her in new directions, she was turning into the most brutal version possible of herself. He had chosen Mahmed over Lada, and this was the result. More death, always death. There had been no response to Mara's suggestion of attack. Radu looked up. Everyone was watching him, Kumal with compassion, Mara with expectation, and Mahmed with agitated turmoil. Finally, his fists relaxed and his shoulders slumped.
I do not want to, Mahmed said, his voice soft. I do not want to destroy her.
Radu nodded, his head leaden.
I will go speak with her then.
Mara jumped in, still as poised and elegant as a painting, though a line had formed between her brows. What good will speaking with her do? You cannot release Valachia from vassalage. It sets a terrible precedent. If we can think of nothing short of total independence that she might be willing to bargain for, we have nothing to offer.
If she continues to push on this, she will be killed.
Kumal lifted his hands as though weighing two choices.
I do not mean that as a threat. I mean it as truth. You have said yourself that she will never back down. Her actions threaten everyone in our empire. Instability creates cracks through which death seeps in. Our responsibility is to keep our people safe and to address threats to their well-being. Radu, I know she is your sister, but if she will not compromise, this necessarily ends in her death.
Radu felt a pressure behind his eyes, like tears he would not release. Kumal was right. Larda was courting death, and would drag untold numbers down with her on her bloody journey. He had failed her before. He would not fail her this time. But to protect her, he would have to betray her. Betrayal was quickly becoming the only skill he had to offer anyone. Radu nodded.
She will not compromise. When she comes to meet me, as she must, because I am her brother, and it aggravates her that I have belonged to someone else these last years. I will bring her back here.
She will never come back, Mara said.
Not willingly. Radu waited as his meaning sank in. No, Mahmed said. I cannot make her a prisoner, not like my father did. It would...
His voice broke as he trailed off.
It would kill whatever love she has left for both of us.
Radu crossed the room and took Mahmed by the shoulders. He saw his own sadness and exhaustion reflected in his friend's eyes. He hated this decision, even as he felt it was the right one, the only one.
Maybe, someday, we can fix it. But right now, people are dying because of her. Your people, our people. Can we let them die because of our history with her?
Mahmed's eyes tracked back and forth, as though tracing potential futures. Doubtless he searched for one in which he might have Larda the way he wanted her. The future he was seeing did not revolve around Radu.
Bring her back, Mahmed said. Bring her home.
Whatever they had here, whatever they might possibly move toward, it would end if Larda was back, no matter how unwilling she was. She always came first. But it did not matter. Radu had not known what to hope for. But all hope had disappeared when Mahmed did not hesitate to send him away again if it meant getting Larda back. It was the door, swinging shut. Radu knew the momentum had started the day he ran away from Adirna with Cyprian, and discovered that some hearts were more worth breaking for. And very soon, he sensed, the door would close, forever. He could still acknowledge his feelings from Mahmed, while knowing they were nearly done. Radu dropped his hands from Mahmed's shoulders, smiling because he did not know what else to do. He had held on to his love for Mahmed for so long. It had been his first, and he could not imagine anything ever taking its place. He had been wrong. He would let this impossible love slowly end then. Forever. 9. Turgaviste. Larda was hiding. She preferred to think of it as a strategic retreat
but the truth was she needed a few minutes surrounded by the warm scent of baking bread and nothing else. She stuck her finger in a jar of fruit preserves, taking out a glob and licking it off. "Have some manners," Juana chided, but her words had no sting. She hummed, bustling around the cavernous kitchen. Lara was transformed into a child again, and for once in her 19 years, she did not mind. She crawled under a table and huddled close to the warm ovens, closed her eyes, and finished off the jar of preserves.
"Have you seen Lara?" Nikolai asked.
He had stayed with her after Bulgaria. His presence needed more at the castle than at the training grounds. Lara froze. She could not see him, but that did not mean he could not see her.
"There is a dispute between two landowners, and they are here demanding she settle it. We also have several petitioners asking to be granted land before the planting season starts, and a few dozen recruits for our forces to be approved, and we need to discuss how we'll collect taxes from the regions without boyars. And we have had more letters."
Juana shifted so that her skirts were blocking Lada's nest. "Maybe she's out riding.
In this cold?"
Juana harumphed. "I'm not her nurse anymore, as she is so fond of reminding me. I do not know where she is. Now get out of my kitchen or start helping. Damn castle cannot feed itself."
Nikolai beat a hasty retreat. Juana's hand appeared beneath the table, holding another jar of preserves and half a loaf of still steaming bread. Lara would be prince again in an hour. But for now, she allowed herself the luxury of letting her former nurse take care of her.
"Thank you," she murmured.
Juana's happy humming indicated Lara's presence was all the thanks she desired. Perhaps they never really grew out of their roles. Juana would always be a nursemaid. Lara, her charge. Bogdan, the loyal playmate. Radu. She pressed the warm bread against her cheek and decided not to think about anything at all. Her older brother, Machia, had been buried alive in dirt. Sometimes Lara feared she would be buried alive in parchment. She shuffled through a new mound, squinting against a headache, missing the warmth of the kitchens. Spring kept promising it was coming, only to be met with a frost icing the stones of the castle. "The fortress at Bucharest is almost done," she said. Nikolai wrote it down, waiting for further information. "Poinar Fortress on the Argesh is almost complete as well. I wish I were there right now." Lara rubbed the back of her neck, dreaming of the cold stone of the peak, the deep green of the trees, the sparkling ribbon of the river far below. Of anywhere in Valahia, her mountaintop fortress felt the most like home. But Turgu Viste demanded her presence with the nagging insistence of 100 daily petitioners and dozens of urgent letters.
"Do we need to focus on any other fortifications?" Nikolai asked. "The city walls here could use some attention."
"We will not win anything by barricading ourselves in.
Defending a well-fortified location is easier than meeting in the open."
Lara put her feet up on the table. "Tell that to Constantinople. No, we will fight in ways no one has ever seen. That is how we will hold our land. If the Sultan comes after us."
"He will come," Lara said, her voice dark with memories of the last time she had seen Mahmed in person. The gentleness in Nikolai's voice was as false as a warm day in February.
"Do you think maybe you are provoking him? Because you want him to come?"
Lara snarled.
"Say what you mean, Nikolai."
"I mean, you are going out of your way to antagonize him. Bulgaria was unnecessary."
Lara dropped her feet to the floor.
"They killed my people. In one village.
You killed his envoy in response.
I think that was more than enough of a message, but you keep stabbing deeper and harder. I am trying to understand why."
"I do what I do for Valahia." Nikolai smiled ruefully, his face twisting around its old scar.
"Do you? Mahmed cares about you. You can leverage that, get him to agree to different terms of vassalage. Lower payments. No boys for his armies. He would do it. You could create the best, most powerful, most stable position for Wallachia in generations.
As a vassal state to the Turks?
Then so be it.
Lada burst out of her chair, throwing Nikolai from his own and pinning him to the floor with one forearm pressed against his throat. She bared her teeth, her heavy breaths mingling with his increasingly labored ones. He did not move, did not attempt to push her off.
I will not be anyone's vassal, she hissed. Wallachia is mine, mine! Do you understand?
Nikolai blinked, his dark lashes moving over his brown eyes, something that had been there longer than his scar, as long as Lada had known him, had disappeared from his gaze. She did not know what it was, had never noticed its presence, only registered it now that it was gone.
I understand, Nikolai said, his voice strained.
Lada? Darciana asked. Lada stood and turned her back on Nikolai. Darciana stood in the doorway, hesitantly regarding the scene. She held several bundles in her arms.
Yes?
Lada demanded.
Your new clothes. We were going to make certain I cut everything correctly.
Very well. You may go, Nikolai. Speak to Bogdan before you leave. He has been scouring the prisons for likely new soldiers. She expected Nikolai to argue. He always argued, but he bowed and exited. Darciana took his place, wordlessly helping Lada disrobe. She was a better seamstress than Wana, whose eyes were not good any more. So Wana had taken over the kitchens, and Darciana the clothing of Lada. When she had Lada stuck in place while she measured, Darciana finally spoke.
Is there a problem with Nikolai?
No.
Good. I like him.
I did not ask your opinion. Darciana made a small noise, looking up at Lada from where she was marking cloth with chalk. The new coat would have a fur collar and cuffs. It was dyed deep red to match Lada's hat.
Then perhaps you do not want to hear my next opinion, which is that you should be careful not to let Bogdan get you alone any time soon.
What do you mean?
He's going to ask you to marry him.
Lada jerked away in surprise, leaving a long trail of chalk along the hem of her would-be tunic.
What? He talks to me sometimes. After church. This last time he looked around and mentioned how nice it would be to be married there. Asked whether I thought a girl would prefer to be married in that one, or the monastery on Snagov Island. And since I know he was not coyly trying to get my attention, I can safely assume he was thinking of the only woman he realizes exists.
Lada sat, ruining the shape of the unsewn tunic.
Why can none of the men in my life simply do what I ask them to?
Darciana gathered up the fallen cloth, then gently unwrapped the rest from around Lada.
Have you asked Bogdan not to be in love with you?
Her tone was teasing.
I cannot understand what possesses him to be in the first place, or why he would imagine I am ever going to marry him.
He is a little boy. Darciana set the cloth to the side, then pulled out a comb and began working on Lada's hair. She was much gentler than Wana had ever been. Lada did not mind it so much when Darciana groomed her.
He sees in you what he wants to see. Be kind when he asks you.
Lada looked up through her heavy lashes at Darciana and raised an eyebrow. Darciana laughed.
Well, not kind then. But do try not to be cruel. He is a fragile soul.
He is twice your size. I have seen him break necks with his bare hands.
Ah, but you will break his heart with yours.
I never asked for his heart. Darciana finished, stroking her hand through Lada's hair.
That is the thing with giving your heart. You never wait for someone to ask. You hold it out and hope they want it.
The door burst open and two small children toddled inside. Stefan followed, a brief flash of surprise disrupting his plain face upon seeing Lada.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were gone.
He leaned down to scoop up the children, but they squirmed away.
I want their mother, Darciana said, laughing.
She held out her arms and both ran to her, collapsing against her.
Larda was confused.
Given how often she was away from the castle, she did not see Darciana much, and she had not seen Darciana's baby, named for Larda herself, since she was an infant. But Larda was absolutely certain there had been only one of them.
Who is that?
She asked, pointing to the other child. A furtive look passed between Darciana and Stefan. Larda only caught it because she was so used to Stefan being expressionless. That shared look cut straight through her confusion. Suspicion bled out instead.
Our son,
Darciana smiled pleasantly, as though such a thing went without saying.
And where did he come from?
Darciana pulled her hair free from the little boy's dimpled fist.
Where all babies come from, of course.
Larda would not play along. She stood.
Whose child is that?
Stefan picked up the boy, holding him close.
Mine, he said.
He took the little girl in his other arm and walked out of the room. Darciana gathered her things, keeping her eyes anywhere but on Larda.
There are a lot of orphans, she said, shrugging. We thought our little Larda would like a brother.
Hmm. Larda watched as Darciana fumbled the comb, dropping it on the floor. She picked it up, then dipped her head and hurried from the room. She had not finished her work, which was unlike her. Darciana had been a wet nurse to a Boyer family after she had her own baby. A Dinesh Boyer family. Larda had killed all the Dinesh Boyers, and ordered all their heirs killed as well. She found Nikolai's sheet of carefully taken notes, and added two of her own at the end. Watch Nikolai. Watch Stefan. 10. Constantinople. Radu and his men rode out to the gates of Constantinople, accompanied by Mahmed. Mahmed rode in the center of a ring of guards. His turban gleamed and sparkled in the sun, woven through with pure gold threads. His horse stepped high, a head taller than the rest of the horses, white and gleaming. Mahmed's purple cloak cascaded behind them. Radu imagined he was a citizen on the side of the road, watching, dazzled. The Sultan was certainly everything he should be, power and glory personified. They stopped just outside the city, and Mahmed allowed Radu to approach him. Bring her home. The quiet urgency in his voice was in contrast to his confident posture. Radu nodded, but he could not pretend at confidence. Larda was already home, and Radu did not feel at home in Constantinople. But he would get Larda, and he would bring her back. And then... he did not know where he would go. But his duties to both Mahmed and Larda would be discharged, and he knew what he would do. Spend the rest of his days looking for Nazira. With a hollow pain in his body that was familiar and dull around the edges now, Radu spurred his horse forward, away from Mahmed. Kumal drew close to him a few miles outside the city.
Thank you for coming, Radu said with a more genuine smile than he had been able to muster for Mahmed.
Of course. It'll be good to get out of the city. Do you dislike it?
Radu had never heard a word of complaint from Kumal, but he had also never heard a word of remonstration for losing Kumal's only sister. Radu wondered if Kumal was capable of cruelty. He hoped so, actually. It gave him hope to think that men like Kumal were the same as everyone else. They simply chose to be better. Kumal looked surprised, then shook his head.
No, I am happy with my position close to the Sultan. He is a good man, and I respect him. It is an honor to serve our people, but it is difficult not to feel like we are doing nothing while waiting for word of Nazira.
Radu hunched his shoulders reflexively. He knew Kumal did not bring up Nazira to chastise him, but he could not escape his guilt over her continued absence. Kumal noticed his discomfort and drew his horse even closer.
You made the best decision you could have at an impossible time. I know you did everything in your power to protect her. I meant that staying in one place, waiting, will drive a man insane. It is good to be going out, being active, defending the Empire. We will continue to hope and pray for word of Nazira's safety, but that can be done just as well from the road.
Radu nodded, feeling slightly less burdened.
Thank you. You have always been a friend to me. You are my brother,
Radu laughed.
You are certainly the brother I chose. My own brother was never a friend. Speaking of your siblings, what is the plan for your sister? Will you try to negotiate first? I am sending word ahead for her to meet us at our outpost in Jeju. She will come to see me, I think, even without specific promises. When she arrives, we separate her from her men and bring her back to Constantinople. How much force are you prepared to use?
Radu shifted uneasily in his saddle, hunching deeper into his furs. It had seemed like a good plan when discussing it with Mahmed and Mara. But Radu had not thought through the specifics. Larda would not want to come. That much was obvious. Would he have to kill her men? What if Bogdan was with her? Radu had never liked Bogdan. He encouraged the worst in Larda through his dogged loyalty. But Radu did not want to kill him. Or Nikolai. He had always thought Nikolai superior to the rest of Larda's men. Funny and smart. Even kind sometimes. And then there was Larda herself. Radu imagined tying her up, bringing her back in one of their supply wagons. She would fight them the whole way, otherwise, and once they got her back, what then? A prison cell. Radu sighed, rubbing his eyes. As much force as it takes. He could not see a happy resolution to this plan, but he could not leave Larda to her continued aggressions.
Is that the right thing to do? Bring her in under false pretenses of peace and then kidnap her?
Kumal did not sound angry, but there was disapproval in his soft tone. He had not contributed much during their planning. He still deferred to Mahmed and would not disagree with him. But with Radu, he was more comfortable.
It will save lives in the long run.
Radu held out his hands, then dropped them helplessly to his sides.
And it will save her life, too. Mara was right. She cannot go on like this. Someone will kill her. I would rather her safe in Constantinople in prison than in an unmarked grave next to our father and brother.
Kumal nodded.
Very well, then. If you think this is the best course of action, I will do everything in my power to support you. Sometimes we must work in subterfuge. Though I must admit, it fits me like a too small tunic. I have no skill or taste for it. That is because you are a good, honest man.
Radu could not smile this time. He slipped into subterfuge as easily as sliding into a warm bath. It had always been his greatest skill, saying and doing whatever it took to survive. Now he would say and do whatever it took to make sure his sister survived, even if she never forgave him for it. 2 days into their journey north, toward the fortress at Jeju that marked the edge of Ottoman-controlled land, a messenger caught up with them.
"I was sent by Mara Brankovic," he said, covered in dust and holding out a letter.
Radu took it, puzzled. What would Mara need to communicate with him so desperately? He broke the seal and opened it. One of the sheets was a note from Mara. The elegant lines of her writing cut him apart. He could not catch his breath, could not manage to look at the next letter.
"What is it?" Kumal asked.
Mara. She found word of Nazira.
I cannot.
Kumal, I cannot read it.
Radu trembled, too terrified to learn what had happened to Nazira. Not knowing had been awful, but holding her fate in his hands was worse. He could not bear it if she was dead. Kumal gently took the letters from Radu. Radu kept his eyes fixed on the ground. Watching Kumal for a reaction was the same as reading the letter. He wanted to pause time here, forever, where he did not have to know if his truest friend was dead, and it was his fault. Kumal let out a sharp, relieved breath and praised God. Radu was pierced through with hope and dared to look up. Tears shone in Kumal's eyes, and he smiled.
She is alive.
A gasp tore free from Radu's chest, loosing all the months of torment and fear.
She is alive. She is.
Kumal scanned the letter again.
They were shipwrecked on an island in the Sea of Marmara. Nazira was unharmed. Cyprian and the servant boy were badly injured. She had to stay to care for them and did not have a way to send word until she could travel to a more populated area.
Nazira was alive.
Cyprian and Valentine were hurt.
Are they... Did Cyprian and Valentine recover?
It does not say. This is not written by Nazira herself. It is from one of Mara's contacts. The writer says he can escort Nazira as far as the port city of Bursa, but that she will need someone to meet her there.
Radu was already turning his horse. He took a deep breath, closed his eyes, and lifted his face toward the heavens, breathing in gratitude, breathing out fear, breathing in hope, breathing out worry. Nazira was alive and well. He had not killed his truest, dearest friend. He would bring Fatima's wife home to her. And Cyprian. If Cyprian and Valentine were dead, the letter would have noted it. Surely they were well, which was all he could ask for. Anything more was too selfish on his part after everything he had done.
You should go to her, Radu smiled at Kumal.
Kamal's warm eyes were filled with tears. He shook his head, a smile lighting his face. The same kind, gentle smile that had been a lifeline to Radu as a terrified and lost young boy in a foreign land.
You are her husband. Go and get her.
But Lada,
I will see to everything. I promise I will treat her with respect and as much gentleness as I can. Let me take care of your sister, while you go take care of mine.
Radu laughed, reaching out and clasping Kumal's hand.
Thank you, my brother. I will bring her home.
Radu turned his horse toward the route that would take him to Bursa and Nazira. He paused.
Please, be careful with my sister. I promise I will be kind. No, I mean, be cautious. For yourself.
Kumal's expression turned colder and decidedly grimmer.
I have read the reports. I will not underestimate her.
With another shared nod, Radu and Kumal parted ways to retrieve sisters who needed to return to the Empire. One as a rescue. The other as a prisoner. 11. Turgoviste.
What did this one do?
Lada asked, sharpening daggers while a motley group of prisoners waited in front of her throne, surrounded by her own soldiers.
Rape, answered Bogdan.
Kill him!
Lada did not look up as the man was dragged away and the next was brought up.
And this one?
Theft.
She felt Bogdan staring at her, willing her to look at him. She had avoided him since Darciana's warning. She did not have time to be careful with his feelings, and resented having to accommodate them in any way.
Why?
She asked.
My family was starving, the prisoner growled. I would do it again.
Lada paused, considering him. He was lanky and thin, but with the potential to be strong if well fed.
You may join my army. You will be on the front lines of any conflict and will most likely be killed. If you survive and distinguish yourself, your crimes will be forgiven, and you will have the opportunity to get land for yourself and your family. If you steal again, or you disappoint me in any way, you will be killed. Otherwise, you will go back to a cell. Do you agree?
The man hesitated, his brow furrowed in thought. Lada appreciated that. The men who agreed without taking time to weigh the offer were lying, either to themselves or, more likely, to her. She always had them put back in prison, or had them killed, depending on their crimes. Finally, the man bowed his head and dropped to one knee.
I agree, my prince.
Very good. Lada waved him away. The soldiers directed him to the opposite exit, where he would join the ever-swelling ranks of her forces. She was approaching 5,000 and hopeful for even more from Transylvania.
Do we really want criminals for our army? Nikolai asked.
He sat nearby, though she had not asked him to join today's session. We have had criminals for our nobility for centuries. Why not let criminals actually accomplish something for us?
Nikolai sighed. But will you really give them land after?
I give land to whomever I see fit. If it comes from me, they owe me everything. If I fall, they lose all they have gained. Do you see a better way to encourage loyalty among my people?
Nikolai shrugged, grinning.
But the grin felt off, faded and worn like his scar. Things had not been the same since he had questioned her. She felt the distance between them, like the edge of a serrated blade. Move a finger along it slowly, and it was merely uncomfortable. But move too fast, and there would be blood.
Why are you here, Nikolai? You should be training our new recruits.
There has been a letter.
Oh, a letter. That is new. Is it a proposal of marriage? Perhaps a careful admonishment to keep to my own borders and stop antagonizing our enemies? Or would someone like to congratulate me on my actions but do nothing to actually help us? I do so love these letters.
Lada sheathed a razor-sharp dagger at her wrist and pulled out the next one to be sharpened.
It is from your brother.
Lada sat up.
Clear the room.
The soldiers pushed the remaining prisoners out, leaving only Bogdan and Nikolai.
Where is Stefan?
Lada asked, holding out her hand.
I do not know.
Nikolai passed her the letter. Radu had a new seal, something in swirling and stylized Arabic script. She crumbled the red wax to pieces before opening the letter.
Beloved sister, I write on behalf of His Magnificence, the hand of God on earth, the Emperor of Rome, the Sultan of the glorious Ottoman Empire, Mehmed the Conqueror.
Lada marveled at the sheer weight of titles Mehmed had attached to himself. How did he walk with all those words trailing from his shoulders?
Recent events require a renewing of terms of Valachia's vassalage to the Ottoman Empire. To avoid a conflict you cannot hope to win, please attend to me at Jurju, where we can come to an agreement for how to go forward with friendship and peace. Preferably a friendship that includes significantly fewer impaled bodies.
Lada snorted a laugh, surprised by the flare of delight. There was her brother. There was the Radu hiding behind a new title, behind an empire that was not his own. She was hit with a pang of both melancholy and anger. She missed him. She had asked for his presence so long ago, but he was only coming now at the insistence of Mehmed, who correctly guessed that Radu was the only envoy not at risk of being sent back in a wooden box. It was clever of him.
I will be awaiting your arrival. It has been too long, sister. We have much to discuss, and I have missed you. Until we meet again soon. Radu Bey.
His handwriting, always elegant and meticulous, wobbled a bit around the words, "I have missed you." Was it because he was lying, or because he was admitting a difficult truth? Lada passed the letter to Nikolai and began pacing. "Interesting," he said upon finishing. "Far more civil than I expected, to be honest. Perhaps the little zealot still holds some affection for you, even now." Lada did not react, suspecting Nikolai was baiting her again. "What are you going to do?" he asked.
"I will meet my brother."
"And will you accept new terms, between your brother's influence and the Sultan's leniency? I think we can secure the greatest terms for Lahia has ever had." Nikolai sounded excited, his words rushing together. He had suggested the same thing in her rooms. This letter was proof that his ideas were correct. "Everything you have worked for will be rewarded, and all your people will benefit." Lada smiled, twisting her dagger to catch the light. "I will meet Radu, and I will bring him home." Nikolai sounded significantly less excited and far warier. "He said nothing about coming back to Turgoviste."
"No, he will not wish to." Her grin spread. "We are going to kidnap my brother."
"What?" Bogdan asked. "Why?"
"Because he should have been hers regardless. Because she missed him, and she hated him for that. Because Bogdan wanted more than she could ever give him. Because she mistrusted Stefan. Because Nikolai's questions festered under her skin. Because Petru, young and thick-headed but hers, was dead, killed by the boyars she had then eliminated in the dining room of this very castle. Because even after all this, she knew in the blood that flowed through her veins that she could trust Radu. And because Nikolai had been right. Lada was trying to pick a fight with Mahmed, even if she had not realized it before. She was not doing it for Valahia. She did it for herself, for everything he had been to her, for all the ways he had failed her. She had Valahia, and she would do everything she could to protect it. But she wanted to punish Mahmed, kidnapping Radu, taking back the first and the last thing Mahmed had taken from her, might be enough to make him come to her when tens of thousands of bodies had not. Just three bodies mattered. The same three that had always mattered. Radu's, Lada's, and Mahmed's. 12. Bursa. Radu could not get off the boat fast enough. For once, it was not because he was sick, but because of who was waiting for him. He had been at the bow, searching the horizon since dawn. As soon as he saw Bursa in the distance, it was all he could do not to jump out and swim. Knowing he would be far slower than the boat kept him on board. They drew closer, alongside the city, one he had visited with Nazira before Constantinople, and the wind whipped at Radu's face, as frenzied as his anticipation. Finally, they approached the dock. Radu saw a familiar figure, as bright and welcome as spring. He jumped over the side of the boat, landing hard on the dock. Nazira met him halfway. He threw his arms around her, lifting her off the ground and spinning her in a circle. He did not know whether he was laughing or crying. After a few minutes of embracing, Radu released her. He cupped her face in his hands and studied it. She was browner than she had been, evidence of more time in the sun than usual, and her clothes were in colors she would never have picked out for herself. But she looked healthy. There were no haunted hollows beneath her eyes, no suppressed terrors in the full, sweet circle of her lips. "Nazira, I..." She put one hand over his mouth.
"Please do not apologize. I know you. You have probably carried nothing but guilt all these months, tearing yourself apart. But you did it. You got us out safely. We survived, which means we are alive, to heal and grow."
Radu sighed, hanging his head and shifting her hand so it rested on his cheek. The whole time we were in Constantinople together, that was my only prayer, that whatever else happened, you would be safe.
God is good,
Nazira said, smiling. Radu had not looked for anyone else but Nazira. Now, however, with his heart filled to bursting at the sight of her healthy and well and alive, he had room to wonder. Valentine and Cyprian, did they...
They are not here.
But they are alive, too. A shudder passed through Radu. The release of the guilt and terror was a physical sensation, and he felt close to collapse. Nazira took his hand, as unwilling to let go of him as he was of her, and led him to a jumble of stones near the water where they could sit. They had last been here together, watching Mahmed's armada, back when Radu thought he knew what the future held, when Constantinople was simply a goal, not a blood-soaked reality. Touching his turban, Nazira searched his face.
It is good to see you back in this. It is good to leave behind pretending.
She looked down at her own clothes.
Sometimes, when I dream, I am still wearing the styles of Constantinople. When I wake up, I cannot breathe.
She shook her head, as though waking.
How is Fatima?
Radu put an arm around her, drawing her close. He did not think he would ever let her go again, except to give her to Fatima. She is well, he said gently. I sent word to her that I was bringing you back, but I did not have time to go and get her. Nazira wiped beneath her eyes.
I have missed her so much, but I knew that you would take care of her. It has made the missing bearable. It was simply sadness, not sadness and fear.
She never lost hope. She is made from it, I think. Nazira laughed and nodded, her head bobbing against Radu's shoulder.
She is. She is my light that never goes out, and you are the glass that protects our flame.
Nazira kissed him on the cheek.
I have been in Bursa for 3 days. I waited here at the docks for each of them, knowing you would come.
When Mara Brankovic's man arrived to bring me here, I parted ways with Cyprian and Valentine.
I do not know where they are now. I was sorry to leave them. They have become family.
Radu knew they should go find horses to return to Fatima as fast as possible, but he was still unsteady and needed a few minutes for his body to accept the truth of Nazira's safety. Tell me everything that happened since you left. Please.
First, tell me, did you save them? Constantine's nephews.
Radu nodded, gazing at the cloud-strewn sky above. He had left Nazira with Cyprian to go back into the city and save the two boys. It had been a gamble for all of them. Radu risked his life for what could have been a futile mission, and he risked Nazira's by trusting Cyprian with her care, even after Radu had revealed their treachery. But that had never felt like a risk. He had known then, as he did now, that Cyprian would never do anything to hurt them. It was perhaps more than they deserved, and it made missing Cyprian hurt all the more. I did, and they were spared the greater part of the carnage and terror. They are part of Mahmed's court now, renamed Murad and Messi. They are happy. Nazira squeezed his hand. She did not ask for details, and he would not offer them. She had seen enough during their flight to know better than to want more images from that nightmare.
I would say you did the right thing, but I think under those circumstances, right ceased to exist. You did a good thing, though. How is the city?
Flourishing, as we knew it would under Mahmed's careful care.
And how is the Sultan?
Radu gently nudged her. You do not have to speak as though you are a surgeon, exploring a wound. I have had no one to talk to, no one who knows everything I am. Please let us drop all pretenses. Nazira nudged him back with her elbow.
Very well. How has it been, being reunited with him?
Do you remember when you told me being as great as he is makes him both more and less than a man? I have thought of that often. He is so isolated by necessity. He refuses to fall into the same errors his father did. And he depends on me, and loves me even, in his own way. But this, what I have with you, has fed me more in the past few minutes than months at Mahmed's side have.
I am sorry, then.
To be right? Nazira laughed.
It is a heavy burden, always being right. But some of us must bear it.
I am grateful you bear it for me, as I am not qualified to carry it myself.
Radu stood holding out his hand.
Now, come. We will get horses and supplies. And you still have told me nothing of what has transpired since I left you at the Golden Horn.
Brace yourself, Nazira said. It is a very good story. At least now that I know I have a happy ending, it is.
They navigated the windy streets of Bursa, purchasing what they needed. Having the purse of the Sultan helped speed the process remarkably. Nazira told her tale between their errands.
We swam out to one of the abandoned small galleys. Cyprian was able to turn the sails to catch the wind, and we slipped out unnoticed amid the chaos. We decided to head for Cyprus. Cyprian wanted to dock earlier, but I refused. I was afraid that if we were caught by Ottoman forces, Cyprian would be killed. I knew you would want us to go farther, rather than risk his life.
Radu nodded, stroking the horse he had chosen as they waited for saddles and packs. Nazira continued.
Our second day on the boat, things took a turn for the worse. We had no supplies, and in our exhausted state we all fell asleep at the same time. A storm awakened us, and before we could direct the boats to shore, we capsized. Cyprian was hit hard. He went under. In the tempest, I could not find him or Valentine. Then I saw the boy clinging to the mast, his arms around Cyprian. Between the two of us, we managed to hang on long enough to drift to an island shore. But Valentine's leg had been badly broken, and I could not tell the extent of Cyprian's injuries. Even knowing all three had survived, Radu found himself holding his breath. I dragged Cyprian onto dry ground and then went back to help Valentine. We waited out the storm under the shelter of some trees. When it finally passed, with Cyprian still unconscious, I ventured out to find help. There was none. No one. We managed to land on the loneliest island in all of Europe, I think. She laughed lightly, but Radu knew it cost her to pretend it had not been terrifying. As they strapped the packs onto the horses, Nazira filled in details. The next few months she had taken care of Cyprian. He had wounded not only his head, but also an ankle and a shoulder. And Valentine. While struggling to provide enough food and also cobble together a boat from the remnants of their old one.
"You never cease to astonish me," Radu said. Halfway through buckling his pack.
He could not take his eyes from Nazira. She blushed, smiling coyly.
I hope I can cease immediately, as I never wish to do anything quite so astonishing again. We finally made it from the island to the mainland, and found a lonely farmstead. But they mistrusted us, and wanted money. And we had none. They put us to work. When they decided we had earned enough to pay them back for feeding and sheltering us, I was allowed to walk to the next closest town, a full day away, where I could ask for help and information. Imagine my surprise at finding that someone had left word and was already looking for us. At first I feared it was because of Cyprian, but there was a price on his head, so I did not write you. I am sorry. I could not risk him being found. After everything we have been through, he is family. I take care of my family.
I know you do. Radu finished cinching up his pack and helped Nazira mount her horse, then mounted his own.
So I set up a meeting with the man who had left word and waited. When he told me that Mara Brankovic was the one looking so intently, I assumed we would be safe. Her agent gave us a ride as far as a port where I could get passage to Bursa. That was where Cyprian and Valentine parted ways with me. I tried to get them to come, but
Radu did not force her to tell the hard truth.
After all my deception and my role in the fall of Constantinople, I cannot imagine they were eager to see me again. We used Cyprian terribly. I do not blame him for anything.
I told Cyprian everything.
What do you mean by everything?
I mean everything. He deserved nothing less than total honesty. He was angry, but more than that, he was hurt. He wanted to understand why we did what we did, how we could have lied to him for that long. I told him of your childhood, how we met, what you did for me. I told him of Larda and your father. I told him what the Empire offered you. Safety, home, faith. Things you had never had. I told him why we were in the city as spies, what we actually did while we were there. I told him of Fatima, and my own reasons for wanting security for both our empire and our faith. I told him what I thought the Sultan would do with the city, and I told him of your relationship with Mahmed, both what it is and what it is not.
Radu flinched, closing his eyes. He had already told Cyprian the hardest truth, of course, the truth of his duplicity. But knowing that Cyprian knew everything felt more intimate, more humiliating. How Cyprian must hate him. Finally, Radu nodded.
You made the right choice. He saved you, in spite of everything.
He did not save me in spite of everything. He saved me because of everything. We may have entered Constantinople with false intentions, but our friendship was true. We saved his life several times over, and we did it because we loved him. I think he knows that.
Radu sighed.
It does not matter. It is in the past. I hope he can forgive us some day, but that is a selfish hope. It is for myself. Not for him. So instead I will hope he finds happiness somehow.
We can hope for nothing more, and nothing less. Radu felt both heavier and lighter for the information. At least he had given Cyprian another chance at life. Without Radu, Cyprian surely would have died at his uncle's side. Radu was glad, knowing he was out there, somewhere. He tugged on the reins.
Come. There is a girl in Edirna who has been waiting a very long time.
I'm going to hold her for weeks. You will have to feed us both, because I will not let her go for anything.
Radu laughed. It would be an honor.
And my brother?
He would have come. But we were on our way to Valahia, to bring Larda back. By force, if necessary. Kumal volunteered to see it through so I could get you.
You traded sisters?
Radu laughed, but more from guilt than happiness. He said the same thing. I got by far the better end of the trade.
Radu was enormously in Kumal's debt.
And what will you do after we get back? Will you go to Constantinople again?
Radu guided their horses past the outskirts of Bursa, to the roads that would take them to Fatima.
I do not know.
And I do